Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to Episode 1 of the AP Now podcast. This episode is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. I'm Mary Schaefer, host of the AP Now podcast. Today I'm here by myself, and I'm going to discuss three events that occurred in the last 3 years that have forced every organization to change the best practices they use in their accounts payable functions. Several of those who have not made these changes have paid a very steep financial price. As I go through this discussion, I'll mention some of the names of organizations, many of which you'll recognize. I do this because the information is readily available to the public via a simple Google search. In other instances, I'll refer to organizations who have shared their stories with me privately. When this occurs, no names will be shared as we're respecting their privacy. A lot of times when we talk about best practices and current information, people sometimes tend to think that, oh, if that's a clerk, they don't need the information. As long as the manager has the most recent business intelligence, the organization will be fine. I'm here to discuss several episodes, as I've mentioned, that have led me to believe that that's not the case. Not that I ever did really believe it, but I believe that in today's environment, we need all hands on deck, and we can't have too many people focused on making sure we're using best practices, latest technology, avoiding fraud, staying regulatory compliant, etc. So I'm going to talk about three instances, three things that have happened recently, and how they've forced organizations to change their accounts payable practices, assuming they want to avoid paying the financial price. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the W-2 scam. Then I'm going to go on and talk about some changes made by the IRS for information reporting, most specifically related to Form 1099 MISC, that form that most accounts payable organizations are responsible for putting out. And then lastly, I'm going to talk about the Change My Bank Account scam, and I'm going to talk about what went on, some of the companies that got hit by all of these, and also the impact that hopefully they've made on best practices and how hopefully your organization has changed its practices to avoid being hurt by these things and to make sure that you're regulatory compliant. So going back a little bit in time, not that much, to March 28, 2016, it was the end of the day, it was after 5 o'clock, and I got a call from an accounts payable director that I know, and he said, you know, you're not going to believe what happened here. He said, our payroll manager got an email that looked like it came from the CEO, and it asked her to send him the W-2 forms that she just put out, that she just sent to the IRS. But she was pretty smart, and she didn't fall for it. And it turned out that it was a phony email. And so we had a good chuckle about it, and I didn't think much about it. And we went on to talk about other things. The next morning, the very next morning, I got an email from Tanya Fike from Sensible Sense. And she'd forwarded me a story, and she said, look what happened at the Grand Ole Opry. Now, we'd been at a conference there together shortly before that. And so I, you know, quick pulled up the story. And sure enough, the same thing had happened at the Grand Ole Opry. And then as I went through it, I found other stories, and I found that, you know what, it wasn't the Grand Ole Opry, it wasn't just my friend's company, but a lot of people had gotten hit with this fraud. And most importantly, a number of companies had fallen for it. And specifically, and as I said, you can find these stories on the internet, not only the Grand Ole Opry, Seagate Technologies, Sprouts Farmers Market, Mount Healthy City School District, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Manatee School System. So this got me thinking, and I thought, gee, it's in the newspapers. Let me go back and look through my IRS bulletins. which I get. Now, the IRS does a good job of alerting people to, you know, changes and also some frauds. And unfortunately, in recent years, as you're probably aware, there have been quite a few frauds. And I found, sure enough, as I read through the old notices, that on March 1st of 2016, the IRS had sent out its first bulletin about this. And there have been numerous ones after it. And less than a year later, February 2017, they shared one that showed that this fraud had evolved. And now they weren't only focusing, you know, large corporates, but they were also focusing on school districts, tribal organizations, and not-for-profits. Pretty crummy. So, you know, when you think about this, well, why would they want this information? What are they going to do with it? And, you know, the answer, as it turned out, was pretty simple. Yes, they were looking for, you know, identity theft. But what they did with these first returns is they took this information and immediately filed for tax refunds in these people's names who they'd gotten the information from. And then when these individuals went to file their tax returns, that's when these frauds started to unravel. So companies that got hit with this generally bought credit monitoring insurance for their employees. And, you know, they had a lot of not such pleasant press in some cases, but activity, you know, to deal with this. So this was just one of the things that happened. Wasn't pretty. And it was one of the reasons why in the following year, for the 2017 filings, we saw last year that the IRS had moved up the filing date when 1099 MISCs with Box 7 information, non-employee compensation, when that information was due to the IRS. And it now, the due date for that now became January 31st, while in the past it was due later and you could file for an extension. At least last year in 2018, the IRS was still granting extensions. And, you know, not to blame the IRS, but, you know, with good reason, the IRS said, you know what, we want to have all the information in hand before we start giving tax refunds. And that made sense. But of course, if you work in accounts payable, you now don't have that extra month or two to make sure that your information is accurate before you file with the IRS. So you've had to change your procedures and, you know, make it's a little tighter. Okay. Not only that, this year in 2019, what we saw happen is the IRS has become less willing to give extensions, to grant extensions. In the past, they were pretty reasonable, pretty willing to give an extension to almost anybody who asked. They gave a 30-day extension. Now, my tax expert friends tell me you better have a good reason when you apply for that tax refund, or you're not going to get, you're probably not going, not when you file for the refund, when you file for that extension, or because the IRS isn't just giving them out hither or nay. And you can see that makes sense. It's reasonable. So that we've had to change our best practices, if you will. Now, before we continue our story, let's take a moment to have a word from our sponsor, Stamply. AP knows invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, AP, and the vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Learn more at stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. Alrighty, so We saw the change in the rules with the IRS. We saw we have to be now more careful about giving out our W-2 information. What happened next? That wasn't the end of the game. One of the things that we've seen with crooks is that they are very innovative. They're smart. They understand technology. They understand how the banking system works. And they continually find new ways, unfortunately, to defraud anyone who has money. And, you know, many of your organizations fall into that account. And so the next thing that we saw is what's called vendor impersonation fraud, and crooks tried to impersonate vendors, sending these please change my bank account email requests. And unfortunately, in some cases, more than a few, companies went ahead and changed the bank account numbers without verifying it and ended up sending money to crooks rather than to the legitimate vendors. And this fraud unravels when the vendor calls looking for the money and the company says, well, I sent it to you. And, you know, you can imagine how those conversations go. Who fell for this? Well, again, you can look online. Villanova, the university, and the D.C. government, as well as I know of several organizations who fell for it as well. And one of the reasons that this fraud upsets me so much is that in two of the instances I know, an accounts payable person was fired because the company sent a lot of money. The money was by the time the fraud unraveled, they were not able to get the funds back. There's one other type of vendor impersonation fraud. This one was a little bit more sophisticated, if you will, and involved $123 million. And in this case, a company incorporated in Latvia using the name of a big electronics manufacturer, a giant that was in Taiwan. So it looked and it saw, you know, found the right name, and then it incorporated in Latvia. And then it started sending emails to organizations, to companies that it knew this technology giant was doing business with. And it sent forged invoices. And in the case in question here, it managed to convince the target company that there were two companies involved, actually, that to wire funds to a fraudulent account. $123 million was involved here, and the companies here, at least in this one particular case, were Google and Facebook. Now, it's upsetting when it happens to anybody, but the fact that they got organizations of this stature to fall for it shows just how smart these people are. They weren't that smart, the person involved here, because he's been arrested, okay? So they found him and they've arrested him. I don't know how much of the money they've gotten back. But again, you can look online and see the stories. So I have three different instances here, three different stories. What these have done, what these instances have revealed, is that we have to change our best practices. And, you know, I said verification, verification, verification. Okay, so the IRS, for starters, has issued new guidelines, and they say that any time there is a request made for sensitive employee information, it should be verified. And that, by the way, doesn't mean responding to the email, because if the email came from a crook, then the crook's just going to respond, yes, I want it. It means picking up the phone, especially on that W-2 fraud. I'd like to suggest that when you get any of these requests, whether it's for the W-2 information or whether it's for some other information or something else out of the ordinary, you want to take a step back and you want to say, does this make sense? Why would this person want this information? So with the W-2 fraud, you have to stop back and say, well, why would our CEO want this information? What would he or she do with it? Another thought that might go through your mind is, isn't there a better way for them to get it than getting the W-2s? Isn't there some kind of summary report that they could get? So be suspicious and verify. And unfortunately, this verification takes time, okay? It doesn't happen quickly. With the change of bank account requests, even if the email looks 100% perfect, you need to pick up the phone and call the vendor and say, hey, did you really want us to change the bank account number? Now, I've had people complain to me, controllers, for example, who say, you know what, it takes a lot of extra time to do this. Sometimes we don't have the phone numbers. We've got to go looking for them. Yes, it does. But, you know, and they'll say, you know, we call 100 times, it was a legitimate request. That 101st time that you don't call, that can be the phony request. And in one of the cases that we're talking about, it was $2 million. So, you know, how much extra time? Yes, it doesn't really add any value, except it protects you. And along the same lines, as you're going forward, any change that you see in standard practices, anytime someone asks you to do something different, you need to step back. You need to be a little suspicious. It's unfortunate, but this is what we need to do. We need to be suspicious. We need to say, does this make sense? We need to say, is there a better way that the person could get this information? Or why would they ask for it in the first place? So be suspicious and verify. Better to be told, yes, it's correct, than to be told, no, and you sent the money to the wrong place and then you can't get it back. So keep in mind that as we get ready to change, it takes a village. It's not something that can happen all by itself. We all have to watch over the organization. Best practices, changing regulatory requirements, new frauds. One of the accounts payable professionals that I know, she says, anytime we get an example of a fraud, we share it with everyone within the organization, because crooks will go after anyone at any different level. Okay, so we've seen stories of them. They start with the CEO and they work their way down right to the bottom of the chain. So everybody needs to be educated, if you will, and be kept up to date, because at the end of the day, it takes a village. Also keep in mind that some of the best ideas will come from the people who are handling your day-to-day tasks. They may be the ones who come up with the best practices, and they also may be targeted. So we need to make sure they have the information they need. Crooks target everyone up and down the corporate ladder. No one is too big. No one is too small. If we've had more time, I'd tell you about a fraud that's been targeted at small not-for-profits, but we don't. If the crooks think that they can get money, they can get somebody to do something that will result in financial gain, they'll target them. So keep in mind, crooks go after any perceived opening. Also keep in mind that there are new frauds and new technologies, so your accounts payable process will need to change and continually tweak, not only to make sure that you protect yourself against these new frauds, but also to take advantage of any new improved technologies and regulatory changes. I wish you the best of luck in this endeavor. By the way, we've lined up an exciting roster of speakers for the next few episodes. Plus, I've got a few more issues and pet peeves that I'd like to address. We're going to be talking with experts about artificial intelligence, AI's impact on accounts payable, master vendor file, commercial cards, communications, breakdowns, new frauds, and more. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening to this AP Now podcast. If you like this, please take a moment to rate the episode, review the episode, or even better, share it with your community. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine. You can use the box on the left of the website or pop-up window that will appear in a few seconds. Or you can subscribe at the channel that you're listening to now. And of course, a very big thanks to Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation, for making this broadcast possible through its sponsorship. Mm-hmm.